Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Mark chapter 16 this morning. Mark chapter 16. You know, in Scripture, we see several accounts of Christ's claim to be Christ. We have an account of Him being born of a virgin and He being Christ. We have many things that would prove to us that He is Christ, but there were some that didn't accept Him as Christ, of course. You have the Pharisees that believe that He was Christ, but they crucified Him anyway. You have people that have need of Him who believed He was Christ. You have family members who knew He was Christ. You have disciples that believed He is Christ. You have followers that believed He was Christ. You had demons that knew He was Christ. You had Pilate and his wife. You had the centurion at the foot of the cross. And he knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Here's my simple thought this morning. You know who He is. How are you acting towards Him? You know who He is. Matthew 16:16, I had to come up with a verse to go along with the thought. And this is such an appropriate verse. We'll be in several verses this morning, but Matthew 16:16. We'll start in verse 15. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now Jesus asked a question earlier. Who do people say that I am? Some said you're Elias. Some say maybe you're Elijah. Some say that you're a prophet. And Jesus stops him and says, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, or said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know who He is. If you're here this morning, you know who Jesus is. You know He's God. Even if you don't believe in Him, in your soul you know He's God. You may be sitting at home. Maybe you just tuned in or you're over-listening to somebody that is watching. And you would like to argue the fact that Jesus isn't God and that you may not even believe in a God, but in your soul, in your heart, you know who He is. You know that Jesus is God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You know who He is. I believe with all my heart, if you were to get serious about knowing the truth about Jesus Christ, you would also know who He is. And there are some that don't believe, and they choose not to believe. There are others that don't care, and they choose not to care. But I truly believe that the world knows who Jesus is and knows that He is the Christ. That's why they try and go against what He has asked in His Word. Morals have been screwed up. What is sin now? What is sin is now called acceptable. And what is righteous is now called a sin. This world we live in is screwed up. Why does the world choose to take Christ's name in vain? Why is the Word of God being attacked by politicians or political leaders? Why is the world in general attacking God's Word? How can people say stealing and destroying other people's property is perfectly acceptable if it makes you feel more accepted and makes you feel more worthy, but refuses to allow a young person to pray in school? They tell us that killing babies in the mother's womb is the mother's choice, but protecting your family from a violent man is murder. See, the talk out of both sides of the mouth is hypocritical, and it goes just to me to prove that those people know that the God of the Bible is the God that they should follow. But because of pride, because of the way they want to live their life, because they feel like that if they deny and reject that there is a God that will somehow allow them to live however they please, and in many ways it does, but it will make their eternity miserable. But inside their heart, deep inside their soul, where they have thrown rocks and seared their conscience not to believe, they know. You know. The world twists righteousness and calls good evil and evil good. Isn't that what's going on? Did you know that that was in prophecy? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is exactly what the world system is doing, and the bad person is taunting the hero while the true hero is called wicked. All of this goes against a holy God and His holy word and His holy decree. It goes against the character that God instilled in human beings. My friend, if you're listening to this sermon, you know who He is. Even if you don't want to believe it, your heart of hearts know who Jesus Christ is and that He is the Son of the living God. How did the people we mentioned at the beginning know who Christ was? I mean, we talked about Pharisees. I mean, the Pharisees said, we got to have guards to guard His tomb because 3 days He'll rise again. And He said so. And they put guards on the tomb. They knew that He was Christ. They were marveling at what He was saying, but because it interfered with their lifestyle, it interfered with their bank account. It interfered with their position and power. They chose 70 meager years of existence over an eternity with Christ. Jesus says this, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are two type of people in here. The ones that bow willingly and the ones that will be forced to bow. Who are you? And it's senseless to me because I believe in my heart of hearts that the world knows who He is. That's why they get so angry at the thought of the Word of God. They get so angry at the teachings of Scripture. They get so angry at the doctrine that God has given us, the guidelines that God has given us to live by. People want to refuse it, want to reject it, want to call us the troublemakers because we believe in the Word of God. They know, but they're stomping their ears and living their life how they would like. But Matthew 16, 15, Jesus asked this question. And so these people, the Pharisees, Pilate, Jesus' family members, disciples, His followers, the demons themselves, the centurion at the foot of the cross, I read that just yesterday. They knew. How did they know? I'm going to give you what I think is four reasons this morning of how you know who he is, how they knew who he was. Number one, they knew who he was because of what he taught. The disciples, Peter was not a genius. We probably have figured that out. Peter put his foot in his mouth more than once. But Peter was a willing vessel and a willing servant, and Peter is someone that we should look up to and admire the way he lived his life. Even though he got himself in trouble many a times, we would have gotten ourselves in trouble many more times. Peter was not smart enough to know that Jesus Christ was God of his own cognizance and his own knowledge. So how did Jesus know? How did Peter know that Jesus was Christ? Because Jesus taught him that. This was teaching over and over again. I mean, at least three, maybe four times before Jesus Christ was crucified, he said the Son of Man must die, but 3 days later he'll rise again. He even says it in the temple, in 3 days the temple will be destroyed, but in 3 days I'll build it again. I'm telling you, Jesus was teaching these disciples for 3.5 years who he was. So the disciples and Jesus, the disciples and the apostles and the followers of Christ, and there were thousands that followed Christ. I mean, he fed 5,000 men at one time. They had wives and children. There were times that Jesus had a congregation of 15,000 people. We just think that he dealt with 12, but he taught 15,000 people on more than one occasion. He would go into the synagogue and teach. So he was teaching, and what he was teaching was that he was the Christ. But you see, verse 17 tells us that Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Hey, Peter knew who Jesus was because Jesus was teaching these 3.5 years of who he was. He was teaching, and the Bible teaches us who Jesus Christ is, by the way. You know, we wouldn't know who God was unless we had the Word of God. We would know that there was a God because we know the verse, "Heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge." We would know that there's a creator. We would know that there's a God. We would know that there's a divine supreme being. But we would not know who he was unless we have the Word of God. And we do have the Word of God, so we know exactly who he is, as much as he wanted to reveal to us. Do you know that there's probably a whole lot more to God than just what's in the 66 books of the Bible? And when you and I get to heaven, we're going to find out a whole lot more. But for us, while we're on this earth, he gave us the Word of God and the Bible. I like the Acoustics Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. This is a guideline to tell us how to live our life, how to know more about Christ, how to get to know our groom. Jesus was teaching. The Holy Father in heaven revealed it to Simon. Jesus in the gospel spent his 3.5 years teaching his disciples and friends that would listen who he was, who he still is. He's Christ. And even Peter figured it out. But notice, even in the teaching, the Holy Spirit had to reveal it. If a person is serious this morning, and I believe this with all my heart, if a person is serious this morning, maybe you're sitting at home, maybe you're an agnostic, maybe you're an atheist or claimed atheist. I believe that if you were to get serious this morning and you were to seek Christ, he would reveal himself to you. You would find him. I know he's God because he taught us in the Word who he was. But I also want you to see that they knew he was Christ because of not what he just taught, but because of what he did. Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, I just picked one verse out of several that I could have picked. "For she said unto him within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." If I should just touch his garment, I'll be whole. I mean, people knew who Jesus was because of what he did. For 3 years, 3.5 years, Jesus walked on earth, and for 3.5 years, he did miracles that only God himself could perform. I mean, he taught He raised the dead. He healed the leper. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. This little woman saw Jesus and says, if I could just touch his garment, he is so much God that if I could touch his garment, I will be healed. That's faith. And she knew that Jesus Christ was God because of what he did. Let me ask you something. Do you know that Jesus is God by what he's done in your life? I mean, if you're here today and you've been saved, he's performed the greatest miracle that could ever be performed. He raised you from the dead. Spiritual death. You know, this world is walking in spiritual darkness. They're miserable. And they're trying to find joy and happiness everywhere. But you're not going to find it here on this earth. You can find moments of happiness. You can find moments of pleasure. You'll not find contentment outside of Jesus Christ. I want the world to know that if you're thinking that kneeling at the national anthem is going to provide you some kind of comfort and safety and going to provide you some kind of pleasure and joy that's going to sustain, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'll say it this way. And if you think pledging your allegiance to the flag of the United States is going to provide you comfort, pleasure, and peace, you're wrong. I love that flag. We'll not kneel in this auditorium. Not when the national anthem's played. But that is not where my hope and joy lies. I think we should love it. I think we should defend it. And I think we should be willing to die for it. But I don't think that that's where my joy and contentment lies. Many people try to find joy and contentment in the wrong places, and they miss out because true joy and contentment comes from Christ. You know, they knew who Christ was because of what he did. His actions declared he is God, and they knew that he was God. The Pharisees couldn't do anything that Jesus did. They couldn't heal a person. Not one Pharisee ever healed a person, raised someone from the dead, did a miracle. And they got mad when Jesus did it. Why did they get mad? Because they couldn't. Because they're not God and they wanted to be worshipped as gods. They knew who he was because of what he did. They also, number three, knew who he was because of how he lived. Luke chapter 23 says this in verse number 4, "Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man." Luke 23 verse 14, "Pilate said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one of the perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things where ye accuse him." Mark 14, 55. "And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, found none." Matthew 27, verse 4, saying, "I have sinned," Judas says, "I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood." Matthew 27, verse 24, "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man." How did Pilate know that Jesus Christ was Christ? He claimed it three times. He was just. He was innocent. There's no fault in him. And trust me, Pilate was looking. He could find no fault in Christ. How could he not find fault in Christ? Because of the way Christ lived his life. The disciples couldn't find fault with him. Judas, who lived with him for 3.5 years, that followed him and that betrayed him, took that money, threw it back at the Pharisees' table and said, I have betrayed innocent blood. 3.5 years, Judas couldn't come up with one thing that Jesus was guilty of death over. He knew that he was Christ. People knew that he was Christ because of the way Jesus lived his life. Pilate found no fault in him. Judas knew he betrayed innocent blood. The Pharisaical council found out they couldn't find someone that could accuse him of anything. They basically had to make it up. They watched how he lived for others. They watched how he handled others, and they were angry because they didn't love like he loved. And they knew that people were beginning to love him more than them, and they wanted the power and the prestige. The lepers knew that he wasn't afraid to go to them. When all else fled, Jesus would come. The demoniac wasn't afraid to fall at his feet, and Jesus handled him with love and compassion. They watched how he lived his life, and they knew he was the Christ. They truly could be no mistake that he was Christ. Not in his looks, not in his financial circumstances, but in his life, they knew he was Christ. What about us? Do people know that we are followers of Christ by the way we live? If you and I were in court today and the court was a courtroom of you and I being a follower of Christ, how would we fare? Would we have many people be able to accuse us rightly that we're not followers of Christ by the way we lived our life or the way we live our life? Will we have family members be able to stand on the box at the trial and say, here's why I don't think he's a follower of Christ. Here's proof that he doesn't live his life for Christ. See, Jesus could find nobody to find fault with him. And the fault that they did find, they had to make up, or they took out of context. See, what about us? Are we living our lives to our neighbors and our family and our friends in proof that we know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? Are we living our lives and our lives are proof to others that the God that we serve is Christ? I believe there are people sitting in this room or listening by the way of the internet that you're in searching mode. You're searching for who you are. You're trying to find out who you want to be. You're trying to find out who you are. I understand that. I think we all went through that in some part of our life. But if you're leaning towards the world and its approval, you are not finding yourself. You are losing yourself. Be more like him. Not like them. It comes out in our dress and in our social media posts, in our approval of different things. So does your best friend, let me ask you this, does your best friend beside your spouse know that you are a dye-in-the-wool, unashamed, dedicated Christ follower? Or does that not get brought up when they're around? Because you don't want to make them uncomfortable. How do you live for Christ? Hey, listen. It is easier for me to live for Christ in front of you. In front of you. Because we're all going the same way. But when you and I are in the world, and the world outnumbers us, that's where the rubber meets the road. Have you ever posted something on Facebook and you forgot that you had Christian brothers and sisters in Christ that were also following you because you were actually thinking of this friend that you thought would be cool, they would love this, and it was inappropriate, but now you forgot about the people over here that are believers, and you're like, oh, I can't, ooh, what do I do? Delete that. Hypocrite. Or you won't post Christian things because you have your worldly friends that they might think you're square or weird or funny. or a religious fanatic, and oh my goodness, I don't want to be their friend anymore. They're gone off the deep end. Jesus Christ was known by everyone that he was Christ. Make no mistake, they knew he was Christ. I believe with all my heart those Pharisees knew he was the Messiah. Or at least they were afraid he was. And they killed him. Or at least they put him on the cross. Jesus was known by the way he lived. You know, I've said this many a times. I've heard it said many a times. I've said it many times myself. There's a good chance, and I will say this, that in 2020, it's my strong opinion of this has moved a little bit by saying there's a good chance that God would never ask you to die for him. Now, in 2019, I meant that more than I do in 2020, by the way. 2020 and 2021, he may. But there's a good chance that Christ will never ask you to die for him. But he does ask you to live for him. Do our families, do our friends, do our people, our neighbors, do they know that we are Christ followers by how we live? I've not been perfect at this. I'm not up here trying to tell you that I'm right. I have failed. I would be condemned easily on the stand. Christ was not able to be condemned. They had to make it up. I want you to know that they knew he was Christ because of how he died. Mark chapter 15, verse 39, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. The thief on the cross, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The centurion, this is the man of God. This is the Son of God. Jesus proved who he was because of how he died. Isaiah 53:7 says he was oppressed and was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And you know, I was reading in Mark yesterday, and I noticed the word marvel. I've noticed that Jesus marveled at two things. And then I noticed it just yesterday when I was reading. Pilate marveled. What did Pilate marvel at? Jesus didn't open his mouth when he was being accused. Isaiah 53 says, as the lamb to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. I don't know much about sheep, but I understand that if a lamb is taken to the slaughterhouse, they don't kick and fight and blah, blah. You can slit its throat and it'll lick your hand. This is what I've been told. I've never participated in it. As the lamb to the slaughter, so Christ opened not his mouth. And Pilate marveled that he didn't open his mouth. You're being accused. I find no fault in you. Won't you defend yourself? And Christ said nothing. And by the way, they brought out a guy to carry Jesus' cross. One of the biggest misrepresentations or misunderstandings in Scripture is that Jesus fell underneath the weight of the cross. No way. Jesus never fell beneath the cross, not once. You'll never find that in Scripture. He didn't fall down and collapse out of weakness. He did not fall underneath the weight of the cross. Go back and read it. Never says it. The centurions, evidently out of some sort of compassion, picked Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross. But Jesus never fell under the weight of the cross. He couldn't have, or you and I would have never been saved. He bore the cross. And how he died, the way they beat him, the way he marched to Calvary, the way they nailed him to the cross, and he never yelled out, the way that every bone in his body was dislocated, these Roman soldiers had to be amazed at the man in the middle. The two other ones were crying out, screaming, yelling. They even started ridiculing Christ because Christ didn't say a word. And that Roman centurion, who probably had witnessed at least 1,000 deaths just like that, looked up at Jesus and said, "Wow. I've never seen somebody die like that. He had to be God." When he cried out, "It is finished," they knew he was different. When the darkness came for 3 hours, they knew he was different. When he forgave on the cross the thief and all those that crucified him, remember, Jesus looked out and said, "Father, forgive them." That was publicly said. That was out loud said. "Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do." What did he say? Witnessing on the cross, the thief looks at him, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." No one could die like that. Not unless he was Christ, or Christ lived in him. Billions of people have died, but no one but Christ was born to die. He taught that. He told his disciples at least 3 different times that he would die. Billions of people are born and will die, but not one of those people that are born was born for the sole purpose of dying, and Jesus Christ was born for the sole purpose of dying. His death sets him up. His death sets him apart from all others. But I'm glad to tell you, I know who he is because of how he lives. Not because of how he lived, but because of how he lives. Because he lives, we sang that song. I told Bob last night, I said, "Bob, I want this song sung before the sermon. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." Did you hear that second verse? Bob usually doesn't sing all 3 verses on the last song, but today he did. I was going to ask him to, but I said, "No, I'll just let him go and do what he wants to do." He sang all 3 verses. "How sweet it is to hold a newborn baby and the joy that it brings. But sweeter is the calm assurance." Are you ready? "That this child can face uncertain days. Is there any more time in history that you and I have lived that is more uncertain than today?" This child can face uncertain days because he lives. I know he's Christ because he lives. All other religions serve a dead God. I serve a living Savior. You can fly to Israel. You can walk up to the tomb or the supposed tomb where Christ was buried. That tomb is empty. And if that isn't the tomb that Christ was in is empty. He's alive. He lives. It was remarkable to read the last part of Mark yesterday when I was reading the resurrection of Christ and how Mary watched where they buried Christ. And the next Sunday morning, they get up and they go to put ointment on Christ. They were wondering how they were going to roll the stone away. And they got there. The stone was rolled away. And the angel said, "Fear not, he lives." Friend, I want you to know that you and I know that Jesus Christ is God because we don't serve a dead Savior. I'm telling you what, that would be a hard claim if there was a grave with Jesus in it. I mean, how can you make this stuff up? You say, "Well, the Jews." Are you kidding me? The Jews don't even believe in Christ. And it's in Israel, it's in Jerusalem. And if I was a Jew and I didn't believe in Christ, and I found this place that was empty, I'd seal it up. Because I wouldn't want anybody else to believe in Christ either if I didn't believe in Christ, and yet it's still open. 2,000 years later, nobody can shut it up. That's remarkable to me. Not in 2,000 years somebody said, you know what, we need to bury somebody. Let's throw them in there. It's empty. You know, it wasn't always a sightseeing tour. And it stayed empty. You and I serve a risen Savior. I'm glad to tell you that He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. My friend, His disciples, His friends, His family knows He is Christ because they saw Him die, and 3 days later, they saw Him living. We don't serve a God that is in the grave. We serve a God that borrowed a grave for only 3 days. The grave could not hold Him, death could not keep Him, and hell could not stop Him. I know He's God because He taught it, because of how He acted, how He lived, how He died, and how He lives again. He is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. What a wonderful Savior. And if you don't know Him, you need to. He's real. He's God. I know it. And really, no matter who you are, you do too. You know who He is. If you're saved, how are we living? Would we be living our life to please ourselves or to please Him? We want approval of our high school or college friend or his approval. Would we be embarrassed if we went to a high school or college reunion and our friends found out that we were believers and church was our life? Or we would never bring that up. Do others know Christ lives in us? Remember what Christ expects of those that know Him. Let me tell you what Christ expects of you and I that know Him. It's found in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, and here's what it says. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you zealous of good works? You should be. Who is He? He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who He is. I claim it. I proclaim it. Do you? You know who He is. If you're lost, what are you going to do about it? You know who He is. If you're saved, how are you going to live?
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.